quality sluggers, the real good hitting baseball players. The National League had a number of them too. You can't take it away from them, but
that's
the American
League
seemed to have the combination for a few years there that they had some good power hitters and good pitchers.
Yeah.
And so the combination lasted for a number of years, and then I believe the National League seemed to get a little more aggressive than the American League.
Yeah, I think that's part of it.
The style of baseball seemed to be a little more aggressive than the National League.
Mm-hmm.
That was my feeling.
I think you're right. And it's just possible that by accident more than anything else, National League teams happen to get better general managers that managed to pull in better quality ball players than they were.
Well, I think the National League went after the Latins and the colored ball players a little more aggressively than the American League did.
That's true.
And I think that made a little difference for a number of years there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, the National League had some good black players.
Oh, absolutely.
I think Roberto Clemente was
great.
He was one of the outstanding ball players I've ever seen.
Yes. Yep.
He could do everything. And you don't find too many ball players that can do everything.
Do it all, yeah. That's absolutely right. And he went out at the right time, and it was his accident. He just collected his 3,000th hit. He'd been the hero in the previous World Series and everything else.
But he's terrific. I admired him. And then he had Robinson over there.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron.
Yeah, Campanella. Can't get much better catcher than Campanella, and not too much better hitter.
That's right.
Than Roy was.
Yeah. And the Latins, they had some good Latins, too.
Yeah.
Made a difference, for a number of years.
Yeah. Do you have any recollections, anything special, or incident, or plays, or whatever about some of these players, like Jimmy Fox? Anything you remember about Jimmy would stand out?
You mean when he was hitting against you or something? Well, of course, I always thought Jimmy was one of the most powerful hitters I've seen. He had tremendous wrist action.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, and those arms are like ham hocks, those upper arms.
Yeah, I know in a game in Cleveland one time, I thought I threw him a pretty good curveball, and he hit a low line drive in the stadium there, and it was a line drive too, and it went about 14, 15 rows in the lower section there, at the last section in the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nice drive. of course, I've always admired Jimmy as a power hitter.
Mm-hmm.
He could hit him out of any ballpark.
And he was still adequate as a defensive player, too.
Oh, yeah, he was adequate. He did a good job defensively.
Do I remember?
Their hitting overshadowed their defensive ability.
Didn't he play a little third base at some time?
Yeah,
in his career. He was, a more powerful hitter than Al Simmons.
Well, I think he hit longer home runs.
Mm-hmm.
But Al Simmons was a hitter that could hit to all fields.
Yeah,
and also he could hit for distance.
Yeah.
But he was a tough hitter for an average. I think he was just as tough as Jimmy.
Yes,
but,
I do too.
Because he could hit a ball down right field line,
mm-hmm.
or he could hit a ball down left field line.
Probably a little faster than Fox too, on his feet.
No, I don't think so.
Really slow.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay.
Were
both of them harder hitters than Greenberg?
Well, Greenberg could hit for distance as good as either one of those. Maybe Fox could hit a ball the left field a little farther than Green here, but Green just hit him a long way, I think.
They sure could.
But Fox had such tremendous wrist section.
Yes.
I'm telling you, he could hit him a long way. Didn't very many ballplayers hit him up on second deck in Yankee Stadium, I'll tell you.
Ted Williams says...
I'm talking about left field.
Ted Williams says that he doesn't believe in that wrist action. According to him, it's all the hip action. Moving the hip at the right time in the course of your swing to provide the leverage and the power.
Well, that's true.
That's a theory.
You have to put it all together.
Yeah, that's right.
Without it, but you know...
Did you see much of Williams? You did.
Yeah.
Was he a more I think he's probably a more scientific hitter than these others. He studied the hitting more than the others. Fox just went up there and hit the ball.
Well,
largely.
Of course, Williams, he was a different type of hitter than Fox.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
Williams had a good eye.
Didn't he?
Yeah. He'd take balls, you know, and I think he kind of was proud
intimidated.
Of it.
Did he intimidate the umpires that way? And so
well,
thinking that if he took the ball, it was a ball.
And it could be far outside. You'd take it, you know, and just a ball. The umpire would not take all the ball. But if you hit the strike zone maybe an inch outside, so the umpire, it all depends on who's pitching out there. I pitched to Williams, and I used to hit that outside corner on him, and the umpire would give it to him. I had the reputation of the umpires as having pretty good control and a respectable pitcher, you know. So he wouldn't give it to Williams, he'd give it to me a lot of times, although I hit the corner.
And does DiMaggio rate with those people?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
DiMaggio, like Clemente, he could do the five things that you have to have.
You didn't really see Tris Speaker play center field at his best anyway.
Last year, one year.
Yeah,
he was with the A's.
That's
he and
right.
Todd both.
Yeah, that's right.
I pitched against both of them.
I admire old Connie for bringing those two over there for their final swing.
I was 18 and I got to pitch against him. And it was a throw that I would never
sure.
forget.
There are those who, never having seen Speaker, will insist that DiMaggio is the best center fielder that ever was, but. Those who saw Speaker don't believe a word of it.
Well, Speaker played in a different era.
Yeah,
also, the ball was
exactly
was as live.
He couldn't play as shallow these days as he did then.
No, never.
Get back to
that.
No.
But DiMaggio, he covered that ground without looking like he's covering a lot of ground, you know?
Yeah. Did you see Willie Mays play much center field?
Only in exhibition games.
Yeah, I guess he has to be up there with one of the three, four, five best center fielders.
Willie Mays, DiMaggio. Abreu was a good center fielder.
Yeah,
but he didn't have the speed and as like Mays and DiMaggio.
All right. Well, how about Gary Ruth? I'm talking, these players so far are mostly sluggers, as you see. Gehrig and Ruth and Rudy York. York doesn't belong with the other two in a sense.
No.
He hit a lot of long balls and
so
forth, but he's a lesser figure.
He was a power hitter. When a pitcher made the mistake, he'd hit ball along with you. But Ruth and Gehrig, they were in a class by themselves. They were great. Ruth, he was dangerous all the time. And when you were behind Ruth, you know, naturally he could look for a cripple, but that's when you had to pitch to Ruth instead of like a 3-2 pitch or a 3-1 pitch, 2-0 pitch. You always had to give him something different.
Yeah.
He couldn't. you couldn't just throw a fastball and try to get it in there, so he fouled off or you're hoping to get a strike. You had to give him your off pitches and hope to, you know, get back even with him or get ahead of him again. Gary was a different kind of hitter. Gary had hit the left field, the right field, and he could hit left, he could hit the off fields with power. So you made a mistake
really
on him. I remember in League Park, you'd try to pitch outside to him because of the short right field wall we had there. And the left field bleachers was a pretty good drive. It was 378 down the line. That was a long way down there.
Sure.
And 400 and something in left center. Well, Gary used to hit him in left center in the old bleachers. So he was a different kind of hitter.
Yep.
And he was a good hitter.
Well,
he gave
me
more trouble than
a lot of hitters.
He and Gehringer was the two hitters that always gave me trouble. Ruth was the kind of a guy that was always going for the long one. Because that's what he was paid for.
Exactly.
So he could hit him through the infield, you know. And
Joe Sewell says that Ruth was as good an outfielder, at least right fielder, as he ever saw, till his last year or two. That his arm, of course, that probably be expected from his start, but his arm was as strong and as accurate as anybody he ever saw.
Well, the runners didn't take advantage of it, I'll tell you that. When a ball was hit the right field, on some outfielders, you'd never stop at second.
Automatically.
Third.
But
with Ruth, with his strong and accurate arm, they'd hold up a lot. So it's his build, you know, I hear the ball players thought about him today.
Yeah.
And I say, well, how can he move around, you know, with that pudgy or upper torso that he has and all that?
Well,
looks like he's got a stomach and
everything.
And Ruth had tremendous legs.
He did.
Well-built legs.
But he didn't always have that much stomach either when he started out.
No, it was his build that
made him look
an unusual build.
Yeah.
And in his younger days, he was pretty fast.
Yeah, he could move around.
He wasn't a speed demon, but he was pretty fast.
No, he wasn't the guy that was going to steal a lot of
bases.
I don't steal on mine. Get them all and unload.
Yeah.
Do you remember hitting your first home run?
Well, I think I have five.
That's my recollection.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And I don't know, I think it was in Cleveland.
Or if it wasn't the first one, anyone did.
I hit two in one game.
You're kidding.
I remember those.
Who'd you hit them off of?
Well, off the the White Sox, but
yeah.
I forget who the pitcher was. That's bad, I think, if you hit the pitcher.
Yeah, that's right.
But I remember the one in Cleveland I hit off of Ivy Andrews. It was just inside of the left field foul line, about 2 feet.
That's enough.
But the two in Chicago, I really got a kick out of, because that doesn't happen too often.
No, for any pitcher. You must have won that game.
Well, I think I won it 6-4. I can't remember the exact score.
Your two homers made the difference, obviously, even if you didn't drive anybody else in. Remember any RBIs that might have won a game for you?
I won a few of my own hits, I just can't remember right now.
That's asking a lot.
Yeah. Well, I used to get a double every now and then. I was a kind of a pull hitter. I used to pull a ball out, and I could hit a ball down that left field line pretty well. So I wasn't no lamb at the plate, you know. It was just a strikeout.
Automatic strike.
I can get a base hit every once in a while. I think my lifetime batting average is around 190 or something.
I don't remember that, but I'm sure it is. Your old teammate was the hitting pitcher.
George. Yuli.
Yeah.
And he's
got, apparently, for pitchers that have been at bat more than a few hundred times.
He's a pinch hitter, yeah.
Yeah, he's 288 average.
Yeah. Well, when I first joined Cleveland, 1928, George Yuli was just finishing up, but I thought he was one of the most stylish type pitchers that I've ever seen. And I kind of copied a few things off of him, the way he used to set up hitters and pitch to them. And he and Ted Lyons really impressed me as smart pitchers.
Everybody says that about Ted. And a number of them, including, I think, Joe Sewell or Luke and some of the others, say that if George had had an arm that was always sound, he would have been one of the all-time greats.
Yeah.
Because he had more arm trouble.
I think he did at that
sort.
But George was, like I was, about a three-quarter delivery type pitcher, you know. But he'd give the hitter a little different angles all the time.
Yeah.
Overhand, sidearm, three-quarter, side, and then you'd have pitches like your fastball, you could throw three different angles, and your curveball three different angles, and things like that, you know, which helped.
He's given credit for being the first one that called the slider a slider.
Oh, is that what George is?
Yeah. He wasn't the first one that threw it. But I think they say maybe George Blayholder was one of the first that really threw a slider.
Well, George would pitch nine innings, and the hitters would come back and say, well, he throws every ball that either curves or does something. You know? and they say he never throws a fastball. Every ball he does is kind of, it tails off or spins off.
Yeah.
And the hitter just couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
I think they were out looking for a fastball when I was a slider.
True. Well, if I was going to say back when Williams, when we were talking about Williams for a second, if old Ted hadn't missed close to four full seasons in two different stints in the service, he would have piled up some staggering figures and everything, home runs and everything else. I mean,
he had been terrific.
Yeah, he had 520, I think, home runs, 521, something like that.
Yeah,
he would have been. He would have approached 700 if he had played those other four seasons.
Easy.
Yeah, because those were in his better years.
Sure.
Not in his later years.
That's right. Just same as Bob Feller and some of those fellows that spent two or three years in service. They all would have had records that would be very impressive.
Yeah. And I think old Pete Alexander, had he not gone into service, it wasn't terribly long, but I have the feeling, I've never really been able to verify it, I have the feeling that he came back with he had what they call epileptic fits every so often, you know. You never saw Pete pitch, did you?
Well, in exhibition I did, out in Omaha,
In his first years, I don't find any notion that he ever suffered any of those things, and after the war he did. He still had some good years after the war, for sure, but before the war, he had three straight seasons where he was over 30 game winner, you know.
Yeah. Well, I saw him pitch after the 1926 World Series. He came through Omaha, barnstorming, and pitched in Omaha, and I went out to see him.
Match.
I was about 15 years old.
Sure. Now, is barnstorming illegal now, or has it just come to the point where it doesn't bring players enough money?
No. It's passe, I guess.
I think
the salaries they're making now, there would be no need for the barnstorm.
They couldn't pay them enough to attract them, and I think TV has removed some of the... in other words, everybody in the sticks see the players on TV now.
I think that what's taken the place of barnstorming is personal appearances on TV and banquets and things like that, you know.
So that's... Did you ever go barnstorming?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I did it for small amounts of money.
Yeah, but it would depend on what they took in as to what you got, huh?
The only reason we did it was to have some fun, and and then so some of the players on the club could make some money.
That's right. That's right.
That was a reason.
You always were barnstorming in the U.S. You didn't go to Japan or anywhere,
did you? Well, I did it mostly in the Middle West, out around Omaha and Nebraska and all that. And, you couldn't make much money, but some of the players picked up a few hundred, and that's what they wanted.
Yeah.
So that's the way we worked it.
Were you, without your record in front of me, I wouldn't say, were you ever on a team as a coach that got into the World Series?
Oh, yeah.
Which one?
I, 1948 and 1954.
I was you were in Cleveland both those years, Now, do they give, I think they do, don't they? Do they nearly always vote coaches a full share on the World Series?
They did then. Yeah. I don't know what it is now.
I think they probably still do.
I think it's the coaches. They've made some changes, but...
Well, those should have been,
shares,
they should have been fairly good shares by 48 and 54 playing in Cleveland.
We drew a lot of people,
drew a lot of people,
made a lot of money.
I'll be damned. Whereas nowadays, my God.
Well, I think what
TV
winner share in 48 was only $6,700.
You're kidding. That's right. TV hadn't taken over at all by that time.
No, that was. Most just radio.
Well, that's fascinating.
Yeah, and 54, I can't remember what it was in 54. Well, it might have been a little more, but in Cleveland we had 86,000 people too.
Yeah.
And we won the World Series to vote. So,
would you say that the 54 series went down the drain in the first game when Mays makes that catch and works, or Dusty Rhodes hits that home run?
Well, that helped a lot. It helped the Giants a lot.
Yeah, it took the steam out of people and lifted them way up.
Well, another thing that hurt us, we went in that series, the World Series, with a couple of ball players hurting.
Oh.
Rosen couldn't run well.
Yeah, yeah.
Hegan, his hand kind of bottomed, although he missed the home run by that much of the upper part of the hole grounds. I bet you it wasn't 6 inches. Of course, that's just as good as a yard.
Unhappily, that's about it.
And a few other things happened that...
Your pitchers didn't really hold them, though, the way...
First two games, you didn't.
Well, reasonably well, but they finally gave up the... blow that beat you.
Well, Dusty Rhodes hit a 250-foot home run. That beat Lemon.
Yeah, in the first game, in the 10th inning.
So that's just... Well, we should have scored a couple of runs, I think. Rosen had, that's what I'm trying to say, Rosen had a hold-up. He was on second base, and somebody hit us. I can't think of who it was, but he hit a single, and Rosen had to stop the third. He was dragging his leg a little bit.
He's the same Rosen that's down in Houston now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think a few things happened the first two games that really killed us.
Yeah.
Where they could have gone either way. Lemon pitched good, so did Earl and Ring.
Mm-hmm.
But after those first two games, we were zooming. Yeah. You can feel it coming.
I can believe it. And Seller should have won the first game against Boston. 48.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, that's the one where the pickoff play at second failed.
Oh, I haven't got pictures of that. That shows him.
Yeah, everybody
shows him being tagged up here.
Of course,
that's Stewart. His base is there and his hand there. Stewart really missed it.
That still wouldn't have won the game. You guys still would have had to score one, but the odds are that there were more that you had scored one rather than they
if it
remained 1-1 for a while.
Yeah.
Well, it's too bad the fella didn't get the win that day, because that was his only good chance.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, short series.
Yeah.
If you got that momentum, just like those Cardinals, this last one.
Yeah.
It's best thing that ever happened was to get out of Milwaukee. If Milwaukee could have played one more game up there in Milwaukee, they might have won it. But they got down there, and it seemed like they were a different ball club than that.
They were, and they lost two games.
Yeah. And then they had some pitchers that couldn't. Their arms were...
Vukovich was not right.
He wasn't right?
No.
Sutton and
Fingers could have made all the difference.
Sutton
disappointed me there.
When you go through, I think, when you go through playoff series and then go right into a World Series and you've got pitchers that are 35 or 36 years old, they just can't come back with 3 days rest after a full season of pitching.
That's right. They in the early years of the century, they did. I don't know. They were conditioned differently or something.
Well, they didn't have to go through...